I want to give a little bit of a hakdama to why we're learning Jewish history. Now, the pashtas we'd understand, and if you follow through the psukim in the Torah, in the Neviim, so you see that there is no major interest, so to say, of the Torah in us studying history for the sake of history. The truth of the matter is, we know very, very little about most of our background, just about everything that happened in our background. Lamashal, we know very, very little about the life of Avraham Avinu. There's a few things that we know that happened at one period of time, at another period of time, very isolated, different stories that took place, but they took place over the life of a person that lived over 100 years. And we really have no idea of what went on in Ruba the Ruba of the life of Avraham Avinu. Yitzchak Avinu, we cannot know nothing about his life. We know about the Kedis Yitzchak, we know about the Brachis, we know about the Be'eros. But the truth of the matter is, if you talk about his life, you know, all about of his life, we don't know anything about it. And the fact that the Torah doesn't tell us anything about it is a raya that it's not important to know. Because if it would be important to know, then the Torah would tell us. The Eden were in the Midbar for 40 years. We know very little about what went on in the Midbar for 40 years. We know about different incidents that took place while they were in the Midbar, maybe 10 different incidents that took place while they were in the Midbar. But beyond that, what went on a daily basis, we have no idea. We have no idea what was going on, and the reason for this is because, like you have the Lashon of, in the Gemara, Maida Hava Hava, it's what happened, happened, and what's the difference? What difference is it to us what happened? What the Torah is Megala to us, and what's Nizgala to us in the Sifrei Neviim, are those issues that took place in our past that are Negeya to us, mainly for us to learn, that we should be able to learn a limud from it, to know how to proceed, so to say, in our future. So the human interest element is not negeya. Stam, history is interessant, it's interesting. That's not negeya klal. What's negeya is what we could take from it. What we could take from the lessons of history and use in Avodas Hashem. And that's what we're basically here to learn. Of course, the Torah and the Neviim stop after a certain tekufa of time, but the history marches on. So we're here to see what types of limudim we could take for ourselves in order to be able to better our Avodas Hashem, and we'll discuss it in which areas we could better our Avodas Hashem. Now, the Pasuk in Devarim says, in Hazinu, Zechor Yemei Seilam, Binu Shneis Dor Vador, Sha'al Avicha V'Yagetcho, Zekeinecha V'Yomru Loch. So the Pasuk tells us, Zechor Yemei Seilam, you have to remember the days of past. Binu Shneis Dor Vador, a person, Bina is a lotion of to think deeper into it, to go into deeper into it. So, Zechor Yemei Seilam would mean that we should remember what happened. But the Torah is mechayev us to do more than just remember what happened. The Torah wants us to think into it. Why did it happen? If there's something there that we could possibly glean as information that we could use. Because at the end of Parshas Vayelech, right before the Parshas Hazinu, so over there the Torah talks a little bit about the osid of Klal Yisrael. Torah tells us that if Klal Yisrael is going to go away from the Derech Hashem, Rachmana Litzlan, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be Anoichi Aster Aster Esponai, there's going to be a Hester Ponim, and many different, the Torah tells us about how Klal Yisrael is going to go from one matzav to another matzav. The Parshas Hazinu itself talks about different matzavim that Klal Yisrael is going to go through. And the Torah is telling us, we need to study these different matzavim that Klal Yisrael went through, because we want to learn from what happened, and we have to try to avoid that the mistakes that we made in the past, we should not repeat. And also, not only should we not repeat the mistakes that we made in the past, but the things that we did that were helpful, obviously, were the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and made our matzah better, so that we want to learn from, in order that we should be able to go weiter. Interesting vort that Ramesha says in the beginning of Parshas Balak. So the Torah tells us over that Vayar Balak ben Tzippor, what Klal Yisrael did to the Amori, you have to picture Balak, he was a king, and he sees that there are people, they were slaves of Mitzrayim, and all of a sudden they left Mitzrayim, and they become very powerful people. They go and they wage war with other people, and he was afraid. He was afraid what's going to, you know, they came out of Mitzrayim, and he was afraid what do they have in mind to do. So the Torah tells us that Balak sent Malachim to Bilam ben Baor, and he tells over to Bilam, Hine am yotza mi Mitzrayim. This is a nation that went out of Mitzrayim. Hine kisa es ein ha'aretz v'yoshe mimuli. This is a nation, they went out of Mitzrayim, and now they're all over the Midbar. You look into the desert, and they're all over the desert. And he goes to Bilam, and he's trying to convince Bilam that he should help him in order to be able to conquer these people, to destroy Rachman al-Islam, these people. Right on in the Pasuk, when he repeats this, Vayomer Bilam Elokim, Balak ben Tzippor Melech Moav Shalach Elai, when the Ribono Shel Olam asks Bilam what's going on, and Bilam says over to the Ribono Shel Olam that Balak ben Tzippor sent for me. Why did he send for me? Hine ha'om hayoytze mi Mitzrayim. Here is a nation who goes out. Hayoytze mi Mitzrayim. It's a Lashon Hoiver, Osid, that goes out of Mitzrayim. Ve'chasas ein ha'oretz. So Ramesh is medayik that when Balak tells it over to Bilam, he uses a Lashon of Avar. Hine am yotza mi Mitzrayim. Bilam, when he is describing what's going on, so he takes in this information that comes from Balak, and he's repeating it to Ribono Shel Olam. So he says to Ribono Shel Olam that what was told to him was that Hine Yom Hayetzei Mimitzrayim. He changes the Lashon from a Lashon Avar to a Lashon Hoiveh Nosed, who's going out of Mitzrayim. So Ramesh explains. He said what Balak and Bilam chapt, what they were afraid of was, he said, they saw that this is a nation of people that live with their past. They live with their history. If you would talk to a person that comes, an American, you talk about the Revolutionary War, it's personally not negea to him. It's interesting to know how America became. But he doesn't internalize it. It doesn't affect his life. What affects his life today is what's going on today. You want to know what kind of freedoms do we have today in America? So, look around and see what kind of, why do we have these freedoms? This is a human interest issue. Bilam was saying that the Yidden are different. The Yidden are people that live with their past. They live with and they study everything that happened in their past, and therefore they're dangerous. That's what he was telling over to Ribono Shel Olam. We have to be afraid of these people, because who knows what these people can accomplish? Who knows the different types of wars they could wage against us? Empty out Eretz Yisrael, take over Eretz Yisrael for themselves. The future is in their hands. And as Ramesh explains, the reason is because these are people that are constantly learning from their past in order to be able to proceed into the future. So, again, as we have in the almost the chiyuv that we have in the Torah, when the Torah tells us Binu Shnais Dar Vador. So that's our mandate, so to say, from the Torah, that we have to have an understanding of what happened in the past. We have to understand also that our past, we have a history that is much stronger than any other nation of the world. Our history goes back thousands and thousands of years, all the way back to Avraham Avinu. There's no other nation in the world that could trace their history back for not even close to as far back as we could trace our history. It's almost like we are Klal Yisrael, and we'll discuss this more. We in Klal Yisrael, we're marching through history, we're marching through time. We go from one year to the other year to the other year. And at one point we encounter the Greeks, and at some point we encounter the Romans, and at some point we encounter different nations of the world that sort of come in and out of our world. These are people, they come, they go. The Spaniards come and they go. The Iraqis come and they go. All different kinds of people are coming and going. And we're marching on the straight road. You know, we're going down on the straight road. And these people sort of appear in our history. We are the ones that are able to trace back our Avar all the way back. Now, there is another limud that we have that, again, we have to understand. We have the Gemara in Chulin, and Daf Samach Amud Aleph in Chulin says as follows. The Gemara talks about the tefillah that we say every morning in the beginning of Pesukei Dezimra, before we start Ashrei. The Gemara talks about the tefillah of Ashrei. You know, we have the tefillahs of the Hallelukahs. But before that, we start with the tefillah of Yehi Chavayit. Yehi Chavayit Hashem La'olam. So the Gemara in Chulin Daf Samach talks about where does this tefillah of Yehi Chavayit come from. So the Gemara says like this. Dorish Avchanina Bar Papa. Yehi Chavayit Hashem La'olam Yismach Hashem B'Ma'asav. Pasuk ze sar ha'olam amrei. This is a pasuk sar ha'olam. Rashi says sar ha'olam malach hamemuna. This is a malach that's memuna on the ilanos, on the bria, the malach that's memuna on the bria. He said this pasuk yehi chavayit Hashem la'olam. And the Gemara goes on to explain why he said it. There's an arichas in the Gemara that the Ribbono Shel Olam by Ma'aseh Bereishis said leminehu, the lashon of minehu, when he's discussing the ilanos, and the deshoim, the grasses, they made a kal v'chomer la'atzmam, that if the Ribbono Shel Olam wants that the trees should grow leminehem, so avada he wants that the deshoim should also grow leminehem. Now, the Gemara, what the Gemara means to tell us is that you see, and that's how Rashi explains the Gemara, Yismach Hashem b'ma'asav shekulam zehirim b'mitzvayisav. So, Yichavayit Hashem la'olam, we say the Pasuk, Yichavayit Hashem la'olam, Yismach Hashem b'ma'asav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has simcha from the different things that he created, shekulam zehirim b'mitzvayisav, because everything in the Bria is Nizar, is careful about the mitzvahs that come from HaKadosh Baruch. And if we follow in the tefillah of Yehi Chavayit, that's the first pasuk of Yehi Chavayit, so the rest, the next few psukim of Yehi Chavayit also discuss the godliness of HaKadosh Baruch in the Bria. We could see from the Bria, Chavayit Hashem La'ilam, because it says, Mimizrach Shemesh Ad Mevoyoy Mehulol Shem Hashem, right, the Shemesh comes up from Mizrach, Mehulol Shem Hashem brings the Shvachta Kodesh Baruch Hu, Ramaka Goyim Hashem, Ala Shemayim Kvaydoi, Hashem Shimcha Lailam, Hashem Zichucha Lador Vador, Hashem Bashemayim Heichin Kisoy Malchusay Bakol Mashola, Yisbuchu Hashemayim Vesagel Oretz, and so forth and so on. All of these psukim are talking about the godliness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Bria, and how the pasuk is telling us that if we look into the Bria, so we're able to see the godliness of HaKadosh Baruch. But then in the middle, the psukim turn into a different direction. the pasuk after it says Hashem Melech Olam Vod, it says of du goyim me'artzai Hashem hefir atzas goyim heini machshavos amim rabbis machshavos blevish v'atzas Hashem hisokum and pashtus and so forth and so on. And pashtus, what this kapitel therefore is saying is, in the first half of the kapitel, we are learning about how a person could know godless of HaKadosh Baruch Hu from the Bria, and how it brings out Yismach Hashem b'ma'asav. From the second half of this kapitel, the kapitel is telling us that we also could gain similar milus by studying the history of the world and realizing how HaKadosh Baruch Hu directs the history of the world. Not only does he direct nature, the sun, the moon, the trees, and the animals, and so forth, but also he directs the history of the world. And they were going on and on. Hashem hefir atzas goyim, there are nations of the world that became very, very powerful. They controlled the world, they ruled over the whole world. Impossible that anything could possibly happen to them, that they should possibly fall apart. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed that it's not so. Rabbi Yismach Shavis Levish, whatever you think is can be or can't be. So these are the thoughts that go through the minds of a person. But Va'atzas Hashem Hisokum, the Eitzah, the ideas that come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they're the ones that last. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a plan with the Bria. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a system. And he has a machshava of what he wants should come out of the Bria. Starting from Adam HaRishon, going all the way up to Bias HaMashiach, we're on a mahalach. We're on a mahalach. We're going on a mahalach. And although, and this is one of the most difficult things possibly to understand, although the different people that go through history, they all have bechira, and they're able to do whatever they feel like doing, or at least so it would seem. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after all is said and done, directs it all, that it all has to go into one particular direction. And it may be true that normally a person has Bechira and could do whatever he feels like doing. But if Pare would have been left with his Bechira, so Klal Yisrael would have remained in Mitzrayim forever and ever. So Ribbono Shel'Olam took away his Bechira. We have psukim, lev malochim biyad Hashem. There are times that we could see in our history that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it so that different malochim did things that would seem foolish. Intelligent people all of a sudden did things that were foolish, and the reason they did it was because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has control over the minds of people, over the malochim, and the reason he controls their mind is because the Ribbono Shel'Olam again has a plan for Ma'aseh Bereishis. He has a plan that he wants the world to go on, and therefore, if we study what's going on in the world, we'll be able to see the plan that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has. One of the benefits of studying this, looking back over the years, is that in the world they say that sometimes a person can't see the forest because the trees are standing in the way. You know, when you look back over 100 years or 500 years of time, you could see very often a pattern. If you're living there in that time and you're going from day to day, you know, you wake up every morning and you go to sleep every night and you go from one day to another, you don't see the pattern. You don't see what's happening because you're living it through and on a daily basis. For instance, the story of Megillas Esther. So we read through the Megillah and you know, we laugh. You see, Ahasuerus had his plan and Haman had his plan and the Ribbono Shel'Olam had his plan. And it becomes very obvious that what happens in the beginning of the Megillah when Ahasuerus took Esther for the Malka, so this is very much tied into what happens at the end of the Megillah, that because Esther's Dochter Malka, so therefore it's possible to get rid of Haman. And we understand, therefore, that why did Ribbono Shel'Olam make it that Esther was Gevurah de Malka? Today you should be able to, today that it should come out the Yeshua at the end, that Haman should be destroyed. But we have to realize that the story of the Megillah took place over a long period of time, over many, many years, over 12 years of time. So if you're living through those years, so it's after 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, you're not going to connect what happened before to what happened afterwards, because they don't seem to connect. It doesn't happen one day after the other that we should be able to connect it. Looking over, sort of overhead, an aerial view of what took place, so on such a knife, and we're able to appreciate what happened. There are many concepts in history that we have to understand as Eden are very, very important to us. And these are emistika concepts that we have. One concept is Hakol Bishvil Yisrael, that everything that takes place in the world has to do with Klal Yisrael. And we have to digest a little bit the full impact of what this means. And we'll give one example. The Ribbono Shel Olam wants that Yaakov Avinu should go down to Mitzrayim. Yaakov Avinu is one man. He wants that this one man should go down to Mitzrayim. Now, of course, to say about Yaakov Avinu, he's one man, you know, that's Yaakov Avinu is not one man. I'm not taking Yaakov Avinu. But historically, yeah, Yaakov Avinu is one man. The Ribbono Shel Olam needs this one man. Now, this one man is shoved to, who knows, but he needs that this person should land up in Mitzrayim. So what does he do? So the Ribbono Shel Olam turns over the whole world just to get Yaakov Avinu down to Mitzrayim. As I state in the Gemara says Yaakov, Ribbono Shel Olam could have schlepped Yaakov Avinu down to Mitzrayim. He didn't want to. He turned over the whole Bria to get Yaakov Avinu down to Mitzrayim. How did he do it? He made first that Masa should happen with Yosef, and Yosef should be sold as a slave, ultimately as a slave, into Mitzrayim. That's one thing that he did. The next thing that he did was he made it that the king in Mitzrayim should have all kinds of chalomis, all kinds of dreams. The next thing that he did was he made it so that there should be a tremendous soiva, that there should be 7 years where things are going to grow in Mitzrayim. There's going to be so much wealth, more than a person could deal with. Now let's stop here for a minute. Let's picture this typical Mitzri guy who's living in Mitzrayim. Like we say, minding his own business. He's living in Mitzrayim. So he's living there, and things are going on all around him. And he has no idea what's going on. All of a sudden, you know, there's lots of rain in Mitzrayim, or the water from is coming up from the Nilus, and things are growing. And he got himself a job working in a place, working day and night, and he's putting money into the bank. And he's becoming very wealthy and very successful because he's because Mitzrayim, that's the place to be. And this is going on for 7 years. He has no idea. You know, it's like you tell a person today, you know, when the stock market was good. No, the stock market was great. Why was the stock market great? Well, there was this reason and that reason, you know, economics, you know, national and international economics, and the oil and the heen and the hair and chavez, whatever, you know, you talk to the people from Wall Street and they'll explain to you exactly why it is that there's inflation and then there's a problem with the heen and a problem with the hair. But if you're in the right business, don't go into this business, you go into that business, because then if you're smart and you're heen and hair, everything is going to work out fine and well, this and that. And this guy, of course, this Mitzri who we're following over here, whatever his name is, we have to come up with a Mitzri name. So if we would stop in the middle of the 7 years, and he's been very, very successful because he's hooked up to this cipher that's going on for 7 years, so he's going to give you this type of a story. You know, I was very smart. I went into this business and things were going, you know, and he built up a big bank account. You know, at the end of 7 years, all of a sudden, Givarm plots. Like now, you know, the stock market. You know, if you are a big enough nar to leave your money in the stock market, you know, you deserve this. And now all of the other guys, you know, they became the chachamim, you know, the people that knew to get out of the stock market in time, or they were lucky to get out in time. Now all of a sudden, they're the nar, he's the chacham. Everything turns upside down. Yeah, I saw it coming, you know, and I knew it. And it goes on and on. And therefore, you have to do this, you have to do that, whatever it is. And people are going on through their petty discussions. Like they do today. That's what they were doing in Mitzrayim also. This mitzvah, what then? Does something get, you know, when he came together in the morning over breakfast. So all the business people came together. That's what they spoke about. Rabbi Shlom says, do you know why all of this is going on? Why the stock market's going up and the stock market's going down, or the things are growing? It's the same thing. It doesn't make a difference. It's because it's an idol, was Hayes Yaakov Avinu, a kleinchiga, a little man, but he happens to be the center of the world, the most important person in the world at that time, one of the most important people in the world for all time, and we got to get him down to Mitzrayim. And we have to get him to Mitzrayim in the right way. And this is the right way to get him to Mitzrayim. And because of that, millions of Mitzrayim, their whole lives are going to be turned upside down because Yaakov Avinu has to get to Mitzrayim. The hunger that came out afterwards affected the whole world. So people are traveling from all over the world. They're traveling to Mitzrayim in order to get their food. So you got to picture yourself now. You're a man that's not in Mitzrayim, you're living in Chvais, you're a Knani, you know, Nebuch, you have to go schlep, you know, every day. And it's no fun, you know, one step and another step and another step. Morning, noon, and night, you're walking all to Mitzrayim, you know, what do I have to go through this for? And why is this that this is going on? You know why? You know why that these people have to go through this? But Yaakov Avinu has to get down to Mitzrayim. And he has to get down to Mitzrayim in the proper way. The whole world turned upside down because Yaakov Avinu has to get down to Mitzrayim. What's so important that Yaakov Avinu should get down to Mitzrayim? Because Klal Yisrael has to get down to Mitzrayim. That's the next step. What's so important? Klal Yisrael has to go down to Mitzrayim because Klal Yisrael has to go through Shibud Mitzrayim. Because Klal Yisrael has to be Mekabel HaTorah and Har Sinai. Because Klal Yisrael has to be able to go into Eretz Yisrael, etc., etc., and so forth. And for all of this, and this now we're talking about thousands of years later in the history, all of this is going on. And these Narisha people that are making all of these cheshbainis, and they're understanding quite well, at least that's what they convince themselves of, that all that's happening and all that they're doing is because they're so bright and they're so intelligent and things, they're able to maneuver things. Nein. It has to do with the Kleine Yidla, Yaakov Avinu, he has to get down to Mitzrayim because his children have to be in Mitzrayim. Man standing there, to him it seems like something that's, what's so important? So the answer is, Hakol Bishvil Yisrael, everything that happens in the world, Klal Yisrael is the tachlis of the world. And so when we study different chapters of history, we have to keep this lesson in mind. Is it a davar poshit that kol zman that the Yidden were living in Bavel? Bavel was a very affluent kind of a country. We were able to live there in peace. We lived in Iraq in peace, and Iraq was a comfortable place to live in, more or less, so that we should be able to write Talmud Bavli, we should be able to be Masada, the Chacham, we should be able to live there, and we should be able to be Masada, the source, the roots of Torah Shabbat Peh that we have today. And when it was finished, Iraq fell apart. We lived in Spain, and we were very, very successful in Spain. And Kol Zman Taka, we were there, and we were able to do to Mekayim Avodas Hashem. So Spain was major force in the world. And then when we were thrown out of Spain, and basically we weren't able to thrive in Spain, Spain fell apart. And we can go through many different chapters of history where we could show where different things took place, that if we study it enough, we'd be able to realize and come to the realization that a Kol Bishvil Yisrael. It's a little bit too early for us to be able to say that we clearly understand this. But anybody that has a little bit Yirei Shamayim and a little bit Seichel, when you hear that in 1492, when the Yidden were thrown out of Spain, and this was like since Churban Bayis Sheni, this was the biggest golus that we went through since the Churban, and at that same time, that same day, Columbus is setting sail for America. So you gotta be a pretty tough kind of a man not to stop and think, boy, I wonder if the two have some kind of a connection, you know, just to deal with it with cold hands and say, well, what a coincidence, you know. I mean, you know, you got to be made out of something else. That is, you know, not to stop. And look, as I mentioned once, from Chaim Volozhin, the last stancia, the last golus of Torahs in America, I wonder if one thing has to do with another. You know, you have to a little bit, say it's a little bit early for us, so to say, that we should be able to say it, that we see it on our own, but it becomes very obvious that there's something there for us to see. There are other reasons that it's important that we study the history. There was a Yid that used to go around selling Svarim. He never was Nifter. His name was Rabbi Blau, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. So he once said over that he was a person who was involved with old Svarim, and he knew a lot of history. He said over that Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, once told him that one of the things that you should talk about when you talk about the history of Eden is you have to talk about the concept of Niskatan Wadayus, the understanding that Rishayim Kamalochim and Anu Halavai Kechamayim, just to serve the Loshna of the Gemara. We have to understand the Chilik, the Hevdil, between us and the past generations. And we don't have to go too far. We can go back one or two generations and to understand the difference between them and the difference between the previous generations. Again, we could talk about two generations, one generation ago, two generations ago. Kal v'chomer, we're talking about 100 years ago, 200 years ago, 1,000 years ago, 2,000, 3,000 years ago. It's important that we realize that there's a tremendous hevdel between the generations and how much smaller we are than the previous generations. And this is important because all that we have from a Messiah from the previous generations. And in order for us to truly be makabel what the previous generations are giving us, we have to understand our position in the world, how small we really are, and therefore why it's right for us that we should be makabel from the previous generations. I want to move on to something else. The teva of a person is that a person takes pride in where a person comes from. This is the nature of a person. When a person hears that his Zayda, his Elta Zayda, was a very, very prominent person, important person, a Gadol B'Yisrael, it brings a smile on his face. And it brings pride up and down his spine. Why? What does that have to do with you? The Zayda Taka Given a Groisa Mensch. He was a big person. What does that have to do with you? Well, that's the nature of people. The nature of people is that a person has a pride, takes pride in where a person comes from. We have this, by the way, in the world today. There's a race of people who for many, many years they were convinced, they themselves were convinced that they came out of the jungle, that they don't have much of a civilization in their past. And there were people that said that's one of the reasons that's hampering them from advancing because they have nothing of pride to look back at. And they established a whole course in history studying their past in order to give them a pride in where they come from, because having a pride in where you come from puts within a person a will, a desire to emulate this that the Zaydis were. The opposite is also true. If a person has no pride in where he comes from, so then, and he's convinced that there is another race, another nation of people that come from a better stock, so he's drawn into that direction. And we could talk about something very, very specific, although we're not going to talk about Barichas now, but this is very important for you to know. We know that over 200 years ago, there was a movement started called the Haskalah. the Enlightenment. We know it as the Reform Movement. The first thing that they did was, is they tried to convince Yidden that we come from people that were uneducated. We come from people that, and this may sound funny to you, but this is what it is. We come from people that were short, ugly, not talented, couldn't do anything. Not in music, not in language, not in sports, not in intelligence, not in science. That's where we came from. And they tried to convince us of this. And the reason that they wanted us to be convinced of this is that we should then look out into the world. And there we were talking about the German world, which was a very cultured world. And to say, you see, culture is by them. The culture is by the Germans. And by doing this, that would be a way of influencing us in order to want to become part of the German culture. Now, again, this may sound very strange to you, but if you ever see one day, not that you should do it, and again, I don't want to talk about this by Arichus, but you need to know, for instance, everybody knows about the wise men of Chelm? Yes? Wise men of Chelm? The Wise Men of Chelm is a book that was written by a man in Apicurus, and the purpose of the book is to make fun of your grandfathers. That's the reason that the book was written. People that came from the shtetl, they were peasants, they were poor, they were dumb, they did things, they were foolish people. The purpose of the book was to make fun of Erlich Yid. And there are countless other books with countless other authors that wrote similar types of book, and we're not here, maybe some other time we'll talk about them, that they went through the same thing. If you see art that was drawn up 100, 200 years ago, and they show you pictures of Eden, and often they were drawn up, a lot of it was drawn by Eden. You'll see the Jew is depicted as a man with a long nose, yeah, you know, the famous Jewish nose, big ears, and hunchback. He was made that in such a way that you should be able to look at the goyim, that look how beautiful they are and how intelligent they are, and all of this was made in order to draw them away from Yiddishkeit, and to join up, so to say, with the different cultures that were found in the world. Now, people were taken in by this. There is a history book. I remember when I was a little boy, that was found in every typical Jewish house, written by a man named Gratz. Now, it's not common anymore. You don't see it around anymore. But it was translated into English. It was written in German. It was translated into English. This was made a person, again, from the house. And that was the purpose of the book, to belittle where we come from. Not to hide, even. Literally to hide, and not to be honest about the godliness of Klal Yisrael, because they knew that as long as we're going to realize the godliness of Klal Yisrael, that's going to cause us to want a desire to be a chelik of Klal Yisrael, and that gufa, they wanted to take us away from that. So it's also important that we have to study this. We have to go through our history in order to realize the godliness of Klal Yisrael, in order that we should want to be part of it. Hand in hand with this, we're going to see as follows. You know, there are many different things that we look at today that look nice. You could see different civilizations that are built up, and how beautiful they are, and how grand they are, and you think, you know, that something is there. It's almost like if I can make from you something out of cardboard. It's all it is a shell. And if you look from a distance, you know, we who live here in Hollywood, you know, they have props that they use for the movies. It's made out of nothing. You know, you see them make out of cardboard. You see them sometimes schlepping them down the streets on the back of the trucks. They can make for you a ganze city made out of cardboard. Because if you take a shot from a distance, if you take a snapshot from a distance, it looks like a whole city. But if you go close up and you walk into it, you see there's nothing there. It's made out of cardboard. There's nothing to do. It's just a facade. But if we study it, we realize that nothing is there. The same thing is true about many different cultures, societies, beliefs that are found in the world today. That we, whether we like it or not, because they're so popular and so famous, because they look so nice, because of different things possibly that they do or we're told that they do, so we have a certain level of respect for them. Not chulila that, but we have a certain level of respect for them. We feel that they're based on strong foundations, and therefore we have a level of respect for them. And that level of respect often causes problems as far as our strength, b'negeya, to avodas Hashem is concerned. Therefore, we need to study it, and we need Taka to go up close and walk inside, and to see Taka that it's made out of cardboard, and something that to you looks like it's tall and it's grand and it's nice and it's pretty. It's a facade. And if we go inside, we're going to see that it's nothing with nothing. Again, I'm just mentioning many different areas that as we go along, we're going to be able to pick up from our study of the history. Now, there's one other thing that I want to mention, and that with that I want to close. Klal Yisrael has a very unique type of existence. We're different than everybody else. Maybe I should begin with a story that I just heard over recently. There's a man that I know that's very involved with the Baal Tshuva movement that's here in Los Angeles, one of the most successful Baal Tshuva movements. And he was saying over that there was somebody who joined up this Baal Tshuva movement, and what he came, you know, they asked him, why'd you come? So he says, I'll tell you why. He says, I was a professional soldier. He was in West Point, and he wanted to become a professional soldier. And they were studying different wars, different battle tactics. In order to, a professional soldier studies different battle tactics that are used different times, so he should be able to apply it in the future. Yeah, different brilliant generals, different maneuvers that they used, and you should be able to use it for the future. And that's what they do. They study different wars. But after weeks and weeks, he realized that they never studied what took place in 1948. They never studied what took place in the Six-Day War. They never studied what took place in the Yom Kippur War. And he was very disturbed. He says, how come you never talk about what goes on with the Israeli wars? So he went over to the teacher. And he said, how come you never talk about what went on, when the Jews went to war? He said, we have nothing to gain by studying those wars because they work on a different plane altogether. It doesn't go like a regular war. They're a different kind of war. When the Jews do battle, when the Jews do war, it works on a different plane. So we have nothing to gain from it. Basically, what he was saying is that when a goy goes about his battle, so, you make believe you're going to the right, and then you really go to the left, or you have different strategies that you use, and that's how you win the war. You have to out-strategize the other side, and that's how you win the war. And the same thing is true, B'nai Geya, to a lot of things that go on in the world. Like I mentioned before, a goy wants to succeed in business or this and that, so you figure out, and you rechen, and you cheshbin, and that's how you succeed. It's obvious to anybody who has any seichel that Klal Yisrael runs on a different train track. And what is reasons for success by the goyim has nothing to do with our success. And what is maybe a foolish thing to do by the goyim has nothing to do b'negeya to us. And what's a brilliant move b'negeya to the goyim, b'negeya to us, won't the chlal bring us any success. We run on a different track. We have a whole, we live in a different environment, we breathe a different air, we run on a different track than anybody else in the world. And that track, and this is very, very important, is ruchnius, is mitzvahs, is schusavis, is a person not doing aveirus? Everything that's negayah to kiyum haTorah. This has a direct impact on our hatzlocha, and it has a direct impact on chulila, our lack of hatzlocha. Now, this is very good for a Musa Shmuz, but once again, if anybody studies history, we just with his eyes open, it becomes very, very obvious to him that such a thing, that this difference between us and everybody else exists. Eile berechev, eile basusim, v'nachnu b'shem Hashem lekeinu nazkir. And again, we'll be studying in Yitzhak Hashem this issue over and over again, how we're going to see how things in the Gashmistika world, which doesn't make sense. Why, if you do this, does this happen? Normally A brings to B, and that's true by everybody, except by us. We do A, Amola brings C, Amol D, E, okay, but can I listen, where it's going to go? And we have to, because we need to see this with our own eyes, what is it that directs our destiny? And if we're able to see this, then hopefully, as I mentioned in the beginning, we're going to learn for ourselves. And this is going to be a chizik for ourselves in how we should be able to proceed in our daily lives. So, Rabbi Yisai, I apologize if this time we didn't take time to actually get involved in any of the history, but I just wanted, again, give you a little bit of a background of why we're going to do this. And in Yitzha Hashem, the next time we're going to start with the Tkufa towards the end of the first Beis Hamikdash, beginning with the Tkufa of the Aseres HaShvatim. And then from there, we're going to go on to the Churban of the Beis Hamikdash. And then from there, we'll go on to the establishment, the building of the second Beis Hamikdash. Move on little by little from that point. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, have a good day.